here in the house of God. We have Brother Chase came back from Honduras this week, and he brought a letter from Brother Hector. All right, Pastor and Lock Haven Baptist Church. Dear brothers and sisters, we greet you in the love of Jesus Christ, desiring all prosperity in your lives and ministries. We want to tell you that we are always working with much love and giving of ourselves in the different churches. Frankly, sometimes when we are serving the Lord, Satan puts difficult things in our path. Where we are sent, we have to finish the work. In truth, the attacks of the enemy every day are more concentrated on the churches, against you in one manner and against us in another. We as a family are well still able to stand up and keep going and doing. We want to tell you we have a small music ministry and we are going outside the city to evangelize, present the music, and testifying what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. We as a family appreciate very much your prayers and your offering. God can multiply all that you do. Thank you. A sincere parting word to you, Pastor, and your family, and to the congregation. Persevere to the end. God bless you, Brother Hector and family. You know, Brother Hector doesn't speak English and doesn't write English, so it's pretty difficult what I just did. But, no, Brother Chase translated it for me. Thank you, Brother Chase, for doing that. Thank you for being our connection to the ministry in Honduras. I did tell the church with gratitude, that much gratitude that you send for the offering, but if you want to say something, Brother Chase, it's fine.
Yes, if you don't mind, I just want to say, Church, that I was overwhelmed at your offering, and we are very grateful. We were able to get Pastor Hector a truck that he could drive in the ministry out there, and he showed a lot of wisdom in his choosing of a truck. He didn't want a new one, didn't want anything to look real new, because of the gangs that come through the community sometimes. They look for new cars to rob the people that are driving, and he didn't want to drive anything to look real new, because he thought it would look bad on him when the church people saw him driving a new vehicle. So we picked out something in 2004 in pretty good shape and did a couple of repairs on him. He was really happy. So you get a good thing, and it's going to, you won't know when you get to heaven what all is accomplished with that vehicle, but it's going to be a blessing to him and his family. Thank you so much.
Amen. I was blessed to be a part of that one in the church. It's always blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. And the Lord has been very good to our church. And so we're thankful we'll be able to be a part of it. Brother Chase, you've been a good friend to our church. So thank you for your work and labor in Honduras. We have another missionary family with us, with the East family, with Vsalt Ministries. Brother East, if you want to take a moment, you can tell the church kind of what y'all do.
Vsalt, I'm coordinator of Vsalt, Baptist Seeking Souls in America's Lost Towns. What we do is by the thousands, 1,000 to 10,000, we organize operations, we call them. We map out your community. We get blueprint-sized maps made. We get volunteers from your church, outside the church. And we go old-time soul winning, door-to-door, just like in Acts. And we just came from Newport Richey. Knocked on 3,500 doors, and we've seen 85 people trust Christ at their doors. And on the special day, we pushed toward the special big day, Sunday, had Friends Day, and we had 40, 50 visitors, and some of them got cards we left on the doors. They came, showed up, and some of them got saved, over 20 of them got saved in the church service. So when it still works, it works if we go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm a product of somebody knocking on my door 26 years ago, a little church on Thursday night visitation, and they told me how I could trust Christ as my Savior. He forgave me and came and changed my life, called me to preach, and I'm a missionary. There ain't nothing better than serving God. And Jesus is still on the throne. And we encourage, we do revivals, we have a little gospel tent we do. We go knock doors for it. We help struggling churches, thriving churches, and we help church plants get started. But thriving churches are in need of soul winning too, because some of them have forgot about their first love. And I come in, I try to fire them up by the word of God. God is still moving. He's still alive.
Amen. Thank you, Brother East, for telling us what's going on. Brother Josh, will you get me an offering plate back there? Brother East's power steering pump went out yesterday. Church, if you got a few dollars or $100 or $22,000 in your pocket, Brother Josh is going to come around and just take some cash. Go write a check. Brother David, you can get it to Canada and give it to him. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 142. Psalms 142, just anybody, any cash you got, you'll be a blessing. If you don't have it, it's fine. Do what you can do. All right. Psalms 142. Y'all be in prayer for Brother Jim. Brother Jim left already. He's very worried about his mom. Brother Ray, it's after church. You make sure everything's locked up. Whatever he normally does, he does all kinds of stuff. All right. Brother Josh over there. Brother Carl. Thank you, sir. All right. Psalms 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, and I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man cared. I imagine if I was to give opportunity, we could stand up. There's been some time in your life, my life, and lives of our families and friends, that it just simply felt like nobody cared. It's you look there, you look here, you turn this way, you turn that away. I've been wondering why in the world in the last 5 years have we had so many military men and women commit suicide. Vietnam was a horrible time for Americans, not for American soldiers, but for Americans, because we didn't care for them soldiers like we should have when they came home. And I'm just wondering, not just with the military folks, just last week, that border guard guy killed his wife, teenage kids, two kids, and then himself. What makes a person get to the point that they feel like that nobody cares? Nobody cares. We're just going to talk just a minute. I'm not going to spend long with you tonight. But just think about it just for a moment. When you got to the bottom of your ladder, when you was laid flat on your back, and it's like nobody cared. The psalmist is there. David's writing as he writes here. He says here, he says, I looked on my left hand. Refuge failed me. But Psalms 3, he said, the Lord is my refuge. He got to the point where it was so bad that he even thought that his refuge, you know, if you got to, where are you at, Lord? Lord, I need you. What's going on? That's why we have to be careful as church people. That's why we have to be careful as Lord's people. Because we pass folks every day that is hurting. We pass folks that they've just had the wife and the husband just had a miscarriage. They just had on the brink of divorce. We pass folks that the man just walked out of job and they told him we don't need you no more and now he's got bills galore. Look, the economy's good right now, to be honest with you, everywhere you look. I saw something the other day. Somebody said, we want to hire somebody that just wants to work. The economy's good right now. They're hiring everywhere. But you lose a job and when the economy's good, because most of us aren't disciplined enough, we go further into debt. You know, we got to have something else, something this or something new. You know, want to add to this. Well, this is a good time to remodel. And so we take out a consolidation loan and we remodel the bathroom. And then the next week we lose our job. But those folks still want their money. The man that you hired to put the new bathroom in there, he still wants to be paid. So he files a lien on you. And I'll tell you, it can look real bad real fast. Car breaks down. Somebody just hits you out of nowhere. And all you've got is liability. And they don't have no insurance. Then what you do? Well, I can call Morgan Morgan and sue him. That works out real well. He gets you a $15,000 settlement. He gets $7,000 of it. You get the rest after 14 years of back and forth, back and forth. Then the person you sue ain't got no money, so they send you $5 a week. It can get bad real fast. And this is where David is. This one, I'm telling you as a church, dear friend, we got to be careful about the folks we pass and interact with. We got to be careful in our church body. There's sometimes some things goes on and happens in here, you know, inside the house of God, that it scares some of them if you just had to be touched by it. So I looked on the right, looked on the left. I looked here, looked there, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. That's the characteristic of God. Look with me over in Exodus, if you would, just real quick. Exodus chapter 34. The Lord stepped out and he began to speak here in Exodus 34 and verse 6. The Lord, as he says here, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's the characteristic of the Lord. He cares. You know, I told you this was said years ago, and I'm not sure exactly who said it, but it's a quote. I didn't say it. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So if the Lord said, cast your care upon him because he cared for us, and his characteristics is laid out for us in the Word of God, that we as the Lord's people before we got saved should have had the same, you know, because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that we are created in His image and in His likeness. That's there before we was born again. That's just as normal human beings. That's just everyday people was created in His likeness, and then the fall happened, sin came in. And then those of us who trusted Christ our Lord and Savior, we've been born again. Now we have a divine nature. So we're doubly in His image, in His likeness. That's why we should be careful to care for folks. We got to be careful. I mean, the reason we should care for people is because we're created in His image. And He cares. When the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're to bear one another's burdens, that's just not filling up a few pages and writing in some words just to be there. That is, God's wanting us to do that. He wants us to be mindful of folks. Be careful that we care for one another. That's why we should care. You know, we're in His image. Now, when I was lost, I tried helping folks and tried to do good by them. And, you know, if they needed something I had, I'd help them. But now, Lord help, if we're saved and the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of us and we run across somebody, especially those in the household of faith, but anybody that we can help and we don't help, we need to get right with God. We need to care for folks. When I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. What does that mean? God cared enough for me that He sent His only begotten Son, that He gave Him as a sacrifice of atonement, that I might have a redemption through the blood of Christ. He cared for me. Then He saved me and moved in. The Holy Spirit of God sealed me. And He's with me until the day of redemption to comfort me, to lift me up when I'm broken, to pray for me, to pray with me, to give me instruction, to guide me in all truth, to help me to look at scriptures in the Word of God and have discernment. Why did He do that? Because He cares for us. He cares for us. Over in Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Verse 17 through 31. You have the story of the rich young ruler. Mark chapter number 10. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled up to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." He answered, said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." But yet he's still seeking eternal life. I mean, if you was to take just that little litany test there, that little bit there, and you'd apply it to most Christians, dear friend, we'd fall short right there. That tells me that doing good, not by works of righteousness, is going to get us to heaven. He's still seeking. And Jesus, and he answered, said unto him, verse 20, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." In verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, What one thing thou lackest." One thing. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." And Jesus said here, and looked at him with love, "For God so loved the world. God's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance." And Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now Jesus ain't telling this man to become a pauper and he gets to heaven. But there was one thing that was blocking him, and that was his earthly riches. One thing that kept him from accepting Christ, taking the cross of Christ and following Christ, and that was his riches. Just one thing. And Jesus said, look, you've got everything you got here. What was he telling? You need to care for others. All this you're hoarding, all that you're getting, you're not caring for others. Listen, I'm telling you, dear friend, there's great eternal rewards for you and I as God's children to care for others. 1 John 5 says, if we see a brother in need and we shut up our bowels of mercy, how dwelleth the love of God in us? Well, Jesus said, one thing you're lacking here, buddy, one thing. You've done all this other, but this one thing. Just this one thing. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto him, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children, lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, lands and persecution and world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. We got to care for others, dear friend. We got to care. We got to have a heart of compassion. So, I just don't know. There's some pretty wicked folks in this world. Without Christ, they'll stay wicked and burn in eternal hell. We've got to be involved in the lives of people. We've got to be involved. We've got to care for folks. The reason being, the main reason, we're created in His image, His likeness. He cares for us. We should care for others. Jesus thought it not robbery to be counted equal with God. God's predestined will for me after I got saved was that I'd be conformed to the image of Christ. So if that's His will for my life, dear friend, and He went about caring and ministering, we've got to be busy. Nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. Thank the Lord for our God in heaven who cared for us. Let's be busy about caring for folks. Let's be busy. Y'all remember Brother Jim? He's got a heavy heart. Y'all know he lives in Polk County now. It's a long ways to be away. And this is about how his father and his father failed and they couldn't get to him. So Brother Jim's headed down, so how much? How old is Sister Bedell now? She's 94, 96, I think. 98, 99. Wow. Won't be long, she'll step over into glory and grab her husband by the hand. But till then, Brother Jim's words, y'all be in prayer for him, okay? Be in prayer for him. Don't forget, man, we have visitation tomorrow night, 6:45. And Sunday school. Sunday school been going well. We've had a good crowd around here for Sunday school. Invite others. Talk to them. Tell them how much fun you have in your class learning the Word of God. Some of them don't even understand it. They think, what they doing? Are they doing multiplication up there? When I first got saved, my pastor told me, listen, we're going on visitation. I thought we was going to visit somebody to have coffee. Honestly, I had no idea. He said, you're coming Thursday to go visit? I said, yeah, I guess so. I'm thinking we was going to have some sausage, biscuit, and coffee. Next thing I know, we're knocking doors. And like, what are we doing right now? Folks, these people are sleeping. Some of them don't know about Sunday school. Tell them what you're doing in there. How's it going? Invite them. Go to them and see them. You get them here for Sunday school, and they get excited about that. Before long, they're back for Sunday night. You see these kids excited about Bible club coming up here? That's why they come back to Sunday school. They're excited about it. So we have to be excited. Tell them about it. Brother Biz, when's that cookout thing for the 50th plus? The 21st? March 21st. Teenagers, when are you at work night? Work day. What day is that? March 14th, work day. You got to get that tape off that floor over there. All y'all tape y'all put down on the floor. You got to scrub it up. Scrub it up, dub. What, ladies, when are you going to sign up over there? Tonight, as soon as I say dismissed, y'all going to go straight up, shoot, sign up, bring your money, right? Right over there on that one. Oh, I'll put it off till, no, we got to sign up now. Go on there. You'll enjoy yourself. What else we got going on? Brother David, you want some men over there Saturday? Help tear down those two portions? A couple of four men only. We don't need a whole tribe of them. Y'all just get in there and wreck the whole thing. But if four of you men Saturday can meet with Brother David, what time, Brother David? 9:45? 9 o'clock? Huh? 9 to noon? Shouldn't take long, should it? 9 to noon. You can't do it? You got what? Rodeo? Oh. You're going to be all the way in Jacksonville. Y'all pray for Brother Ethan. He's got the Jacksonville Rodeo that he wins. Up there, he's a lineman. What else we got going on? Yes, Brother Bill.
Can you ask the men's group that sing to come to meet down there after church?
Men's group that sings, come down here.
We've got a special coming up.
Yep, and Brother Jim is not here to remind you of that, so come on up. Brother Ariel, thank you very much for cutting the bushes. Thank you, brother. They look great. Anything else before we dismiss? All right. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray, God, you protect our bus riders. Help them get home safe. Thank you for Brother Greg, Miss Jennifer. Lord, watch over them and help her to heal better. Brother Dick is in the hospital. Sister Swagman, Lord, I just ask you to help them. The Phillips, Lord, be with them. Brother Fox has that procedure coming up with his kidney in the middle of the March sometime. Lord, be with him. Lord, you know our list is long. It's heavy on our hearts. Watch over Brother Jim as he travels back and forth. Watch over Sister Bedell. Touch her body. We love you and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in the house of God. We pray, God, you're blessed as we cut out here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, you're dismissed.